Good morning, church. Well, I think many of you know, but I've seen new faces that I've never seen before the last time I was here. Well, I got a call from Pastor Peter yesterday afternoon and said that, Rudy, are you available tomorrow? I said, yep, what's up? I had something wrong with my food, he said then. So can you help to bring God's word today in this church? And keep him in prayer. And I heard apparently, he also just recovered from flu and his eyes having an eyes problem. Uphold him in prayer. I just want to say thank you also for the worship team that I've been listening to at least two songs that we sang today. That is, the first one is Hide Me Under Your Wings, and then the second one, When the Music Fades Away. I've been listening to these musics for whatever reason this week, believe it or not, when I go to work on my car. Thank you for singing those songs. It was great songs. If you have the Bible with you, it's already been read. I just want to pray first before we look at God's word today, asking Him to enlighten us. Father, we come to you today, this morning, as a group of believers, brothers and sisters, to look at your word, to read, and to not just intellectual exercise, Father, but also we want to apply it, because this is your truth. It is the truth, Father. Father, I pray, may the Holy Spirit enlighten us, open our hearts, our mind, and our soul, so that we can understand what you want to teach us today. At the same time, Father, may you forgive our sins. Many times we have wronged you. Many times we have wronged others. Please forgive us, Lord. And at this time also, as a church, we want to uphold Pastor Peter, who is resting right now at home, suffering for the soul food and eyes problem, and recover from the flu. Father, may you uphold him, keep him safe, protect him, Lord, and strengthen and heal him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you have heard these parables. Parables is a very one of the unique way that Jesus often gave to the crowds, and especially his disciples. And mainly we find the parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what they call as Synoptic Gospels. That's mainly where many parables reside, in those three Gospels. Now, what is parables? Just quickly, parables is simply story. Okay, simple story, but yet it's so profound. The parables that Jesus put out, it's not just a moral kind of story, but it's a windows of opportunity where we can kind of like being introduced to the heart and the mind of God. Or in other words, we meet ourselves and our God, and we find who God is. You will see many of the parables Jesus gave, like, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's kind of like centered at the end of the day back to him again, actually. It's centered back to Jesus, of who he is, of who God is. So that's pretty much what parables is. So that's pretty much what parables is, okay? Now, in these parables, Matthew chapter 7, the title of my sermon today is actually The Wise and the Foolish Builders. Pastor Peter reminded me this morning, he texted me, Rudy, can you please announce the congregation? Because in the bulletin, it has been printed with the title which he's supposed to preach today. So yeah, just for a correction, the reading is the same, but the title of the sermon is called The Wise and the Foolish Builders. Now, this Matthew chapter 7, what's just being read before, it's also run parallels with Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. So you can see these parables also mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it was put towards the end of what we call Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus has finished giving his sermons. It's like preaching on Sunday. You finish giving your sermons, okay? And then Jesus kind of like conclude these parables in finishing his sermon. But before we look at the passage in verses 24 to 27, I just want to jump to the final part of Matthew chapter 7, which is verses 28 to 29. Let me just quickly read to you. If you have the Bible with you, open it with me, and if you have an iPad or iPhone or Android, you can also do that. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 to 29, this is what it was written. And when Jesus finished these sayings, remember that Jesus finished his sermons, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority. You might want to underline the word who had authority and not as their scribes. So they were astonished authority for the authority that Jesus has presented to them. Now, with this in mind, if we go to the passage that we are going to look today in verse 24, this is what Jesus said. Remember, the crowds perceived what Jesus taught. They were astonished, and they saw that as Jesus had the authority in teaching them. So in the opening of verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, verse 25, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. You see, again, as I said to you, some parables are not as easy as it looks, or are not really as straightforward, but this particular one, I think, you know, all of you here, university students, many of you, you know, I mean, that if you read verses 24 to 27, I believe that you can straight away understand what it is. I mean, it doesn't really have to be translated into Greek or whatever, some kind of language, right? It's very straightforward. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus finishing the sermon, and then now he said, you already heard what I've taught you, and now you may, and now do it. As simple as that. You hear and you do. These two, hearing and doing, is kind of like a package. It's united into one. You cannot be just saying, oh yeah, I'm hearing, but I'll never do it. Right? It's like you're coming to the church every Sunday, right? I mean that you sing songs and you hear the sermons. But then as soon as you go out from the church, outside the church, or maybe on Monday, suddenly you just go back to the same routine, same thing again and again. As if the sermon that you heard the day before or the an hour before doesn't mean a thing. So there's this hearing and there's this doing that we have to kind of like make sure that we understand that it works hand in hand. It just cannot be separated. You know, I mean that I have a son, right? Whenever I look at his room, I think you know what I'm going to say now. You know how tidy the room is, right? Especially now he can make an excuse, perhaps. It's nearly exam time, so I have the right to make my room very, very tidy. Tidy in quote. So I said to him, right, I mean that, can you please fix your room? I mean that, you know, I mean it's for your own good, right? You know, you can study better and you have some space. And the answer from him, with confidence, he will say yes. And the next few hours, I went to his room again and I saw, can you please tidy up your room? And again, the next confidence, the next answer from him, the confidence saying yes. But then a week later, I go back to his room. I went back to his room, and it's still very, very tidy in question. Well, I said, which part that you do not understand when I ask you to clean up your room? English may not be my mother tongue. I came from Indonesia, right? But when I said to you, clean up your room, and you said to me, yes, the fact that you said to me, yes, it means that you understand what I said, right? It means that my English is not really that bad because you understood what I'm saying. But how come the practice in reality it's not happening. So this is exactly what Jesus said now. I mean, that again, you hear, and Jesus is simply, you hear and you do. It's like a wise man, you built your house on the rock. So the reason why you do it, because you've been hearing the truth, you are not just doing it for the sake of doing it, because you heard it first, you have that foundation, you have the truth at the foundation that is focusing, centered on Christ himself, then you better do it. So when things is like going berserk out there in the world, that you will not be shaken. Because why? Because your house, your foundation, your ground is founded on the truth itself that lies within Christ itself. That you will stay strong as a Christian, as the followers of Jesus, no matter what the world's saying, no matter how many, whatever the world, the ideologies out there are coming up. So you will not be swayed to the left, to the right, as Christian. I'll come to later on. I'll kind of like present. I'll share with you some of the thoughts about this hearing and doing. But you get it, I guess. I believe you get it, right? Now let's continue to the verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, let me just quickly back again to that wise. You see, whatever the world's saying to you, the world mocks you, the world may see that you are strange, you are just, you being a Christian is just not fun at all. Whatever the world may say, but because you grounded your foundation in the truth itself, that you will have that mindset, yeah, the world will, whatever they want to say to me, but from God's point of view, you are called a wise man. A wise man that built a house on the rock. Whereas the opposite is that if this building is built on the sand, I urge you not to come to this building, and let's get out from this building. I'm not a builder, but I've never seen a house that's built on the sand. You see, like little kids, when they play the sand castle, right? They build the castles on the sand and everything. But when the oceans, when the sea, the water came, and the sand castles that they made is gone. They have to rebuild it again. But it will go away again when the water came wiped through that sand. Because there's no foundation in there. It's a shaky and it's a very weak foundation. Well, in fact, there is no foundation. So Jesus is using this parable. He's saying that you've been hearing, but if you don't do it, I call you a foolish man. This is not what I said. This is what Jesus said. You are a foolish man. Because you are just like, you're hearing the sermon from your right ear, it's just going to the left ear. It just never really penetrates into your heart, your mind, and your soul. That's why you never really do it. Either you are sleeping during when the crowds were listening to Jesus, either kind of like what I'm trying to picture it, either Jesus is saying either you're sleeping, either you're being lazy, it is just you ignorance. You just don't care. You couldn't be bothered. Well, that Jesus' parable is simple yet profound, and yet it strikes to the core. It strikes to the core of our heart, and it may not be as nice to hear, but it is the truth, isn't it? It is the truth that many Christians come to the church Sunday after Sunday, as I said to you before, after the church finished, then on Monday, suddenly back to the thing, whatever, they ungodly thing, that as if that sermon that they hear that on Sunday just never, didn't take any effect. You see, it baffles me, right? I mean, that on one foot, we say we are a Christian. We say we come to the church every Sunday. We say we sing the songs. We come to prayer meeting, we come to Bible study,
but on the right foot, we still enjoy our sinful life. It just, this doesn't mean a thing on that one.
How can it work? How can it add up? Christian does not really live as Christians. Christians live as hypocrites. They call themselves Christians. But the fact of the truth of the matter is, during their daily life, it just never takes any effect. So it makes me wonder, or it makes you wonder, whether you actually have the foundation of that truth in your life or not. Whether you actually been really hearing or not. That's the question that you and I, we have to keep recheck and recheck and recheck, and we have to answer it one day in front of the Lord. You know, I mean that my longing is that I've been preaching quite a lot nowadays, but for the last few years, you know, my desire, my longing is just to really, let's be a genuine and real Christian. When we call ourselves Christians, then let's live as Christians. Don't call yourself Christians on Sunday and call you another name, whatever, on Monday to Saturday. The attitude that we as Christians must change. We cannot just say, see you next Sunday. Between Monday to Saturday, I can do whatever I like. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. You know, Jesus said, either you choose me or you choose money. You cannot say, I follow you, Christ. I believe in you, but I still want to hold on to my sinful life. I still want to do whatever I like. No, Jesus said, no. Jesus made a blunt statement to you and I. You have to choose either that or this one. You cannot be in both. Either you hear the God's word or you don't, either you don't. But if you say you hear, then Jesus challenges that you better do it. There's no point just hearing, but never do it. What kind of Christians are you? What kind of Christ followers are we? And this is, as when I read this parable, once again, it's a simple parable, and I think you, again, I believe you can understand straight away, but yet it strikes to the core. If I want to be honest enough, that really strikes to the core of me, of my heart. And often I behave like that. I fake it, right? I fake it. I pretend to be a godly Christian. But the truth of the matter is not. And Jesus said that you are foolish, Rudy. Remember that. You are a foolish man. You are built like you built something like on the sand. There's no foundation at all. When things start happening, when things, whatever, injustice, whatever, persecution and pressure of life, tests and trials come upon you, I guarantee your faith will collapse. The whole thing will collapse. Your sand castle that you built so nicely, you took hours and hours, but when the water came about, your sandcastle will be gone. That's why Jesus said, it fell and great was the fall of it. So, can you imagine, if you be a Christian for many, 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 many years, you built it, you think you're really a good Christian, but in fact, the truth of the matter, Jesus said, or God said, you are not. When things bad happens, your faith collapsed. So the things that you've been building up for many years means nothing suddenly. Just like wasting time and energy. Because you just never really get it. You don't get it. I don't get it, maybe. Why? Because you never do it. You just say it just for the sake of nice to hear. To please some people, perhaps. Again, to fake it. To pretend. But remember that God knows your heart. You can lie to people. We can lie to people. We can play drama, whatever. But God knows your heart and God knows my heart. Either you being serious as Christ follower or not. The option only two, in or out. There's no somewhere in between. Either you in, either you out. If you in, you be serious. You out, do whatever you like. You see, there is a paradox. There's a statement. I can't remember who wrote it, but I thought it's a very good paradox. He said that, this statement said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and do whatever you like. Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and do whatever you like. Can it be? I thought it's a very smart quote. It's like a paradox in one statement, and yet, how can it be? I love the Lord my God, and yet I'm still stealing, I'm still cheating, I'm still treating my wife not good, still treating my husband not good, I still causing angst or hatred against my brother or my sisters. I'm not fair, or I'm being like unloved towards my kids. Can it be? And at the same time, I just keep saying, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. But this is what I do, though, every day. Nobody can see it, though. You cannot see it. You cannot see what I do on Monday. But then God knows. Maybe He will ask me one day, Rudy, you said to me, love the Lord your God. You've been hearing sermons after sermons. And this is what you do, Rudy. Is that really? Are you a wise or a foolish man? So Jesus' parables, he says so unique in such a way that it will really, again, strikes to the core of the heart. You know, you may not like it when you hear Jesus' parables because Jesus straight away attacked your heart, because that is the problem of people. The problem of human being is the heart. It's the inwards that need to be cleansed. The question is that what kind of foundation that is built upon your life today? What kind of foundation? Now, let me bring up these some challenges or questions, food for thought. Now, when you find yourself hearing, when we find ourselves hearing, including myself, okay, but not doing it and not obeying it, what are your reasons? You know, I have to be fair. My son is not here. I can't say whatever I like him. But in fairness, when I look at his response, yes, and then yet he didn't do it, I often wonder again, why is it he said yes but not doing it? But to be fair to him, I thought about it, man, I used to be like him too, right? I mean, my parents asked me to clean up my room. I said, Mom, yes, okay, no problem. 1 month later, still the same. 2 months later, still the same. Right? To be fair to him, I also behave like that. But it's interesting, actually, in human being, isn't it? I mean, that you said yes, but you don't do it. What does it, why? And in this spiritual sense, we're hearing the sermons, we're hearing what Jesus said, but we don't do it. Well, perhaps one of the reasons that people say maybe it's too hard, it's hard and it's difficult. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, Rudy. I'm not perfect, God. I mean, what do you expect? Am I? I mean, that I'm not perfect, right? Am I? Well, I mean, that my answer is that you bet it's hard. You bet it's difficult. To tell you the truth, only Jesus himself can fulfill whatever that he mentioned in the Bible. Whatever is written in the Bible, only Jesus himself can fulfill that. I'm being truthful to you. I'm being fair to you. You're right. It's hard. You're right. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. But you see, the thing is that we are not talking about perfection. The perfection will not come until Jesus comes again. And it's not a magic thing that it will just magic wand, like overnight when you become a Christian, the next day, boom, you become completely perfect. No, you and I know that's not the case. Let's be honest. However, in saying that, there has to be a commitment. There has to be a determination in your heart, in my heart, after we hearing what Jesus taught, what the Word of God teaching us, then there has to be a commitment, determination in following that instruction. And what good is it if you're hearing again and not doing? We are not talking about perfection. There is what we call it's a progressive sanctification. Sanctification means that we know that word. Normally it's to do with purify our hearts, which is true, which is good. But you also have to know the word sanctification also means that you are made to be set apart. You are set apart for a holy purpose. That's what sanctification is. So there's this progressive sanctification. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to keep working on you all the time with your determination also involved in there, your responsibility with your commitment that, yeah, I'm pursuing God. This is what I want to pursue. I'm pursuing Him. This is what Lord, it's so hard. I'm not perfect. It is so difficult. But yet my heart and my longing, the desire is I want to keep following you seriously. I want to adhere to your word. I want to spend time alone with you, Lord, in your word. And may Holy Spirit, you keep working, sanctify me all the time so that I can be Christ-like one day. What I'm saying is that ultimately, at the end of the day, you have in this difficult moment, and which is impossible, yeah, it's true, once again, from human perspective, it's not doable. But what I'm saying is that that's not an excuse for you not to come to God Himself, spend time alone with the Lord. You know, the book of James in chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 from the New Living Translation version, what it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That's what James said. It's like you watch every morning, you look at your face in the mirror. How good and beautiful and handsome you are. I mean, you know, but then after that you walk away and you forgot what you look like. You have to keep going back to the mirror again, keep checking your face all the time. But it's almost like that. If you're hearing, you don't do it, it's like that. You actually never really pay attention. It never really stuck in your heart. And then again, James continues in chapter 2, verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You call yourself have faith. You call yourself, you're being a Christian, you have heard the sermons, but if you don't do it, your faith is pretty much dead. Is your faith dead? Do you have a dead faith? Or do you have a faith that is alive, that really understands this truth, that really is grounded in this truth, and you want to keep serving God and serving others? Another food of thought that we may want to ask ourselves, are we truly saved? The salvation that has been given unto you, unto me, freely through Christ, are we really truly saved? The next food for thought perhaps, do you truly love the Lord? You see, in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, the parallel of this parable which I mentioned to you earlier, if you look at the opening of verse 46, that's even stronger, the message in there. Why? Because Luke wrote down that Matthew didn't write. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, 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 and not do what I tell you? You see, you call me Lord, 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 and you do not do what I tell you, don't bother. Pretty much Jesus saying, don't bother. You see, this parable is simple and yet so profound and yet so strong, it really strikes you the heart of you and the heart of mine. Jesus is being open and being blunt. Don't bother. You call me why? What for? Just to be look nice? To be look good? To be sound nice? Don't bother. This is what I said once again. This is what Jesus said. Call me Lord and you don't do it. What for? Forget it. Do you understand that you are a child of God that has been paid highly, in which Jesus had to die on the cross? Supposed to be, we are supposed to be punished, but instead he took our place on the cross for eternity's sake. Your victory over sin is at hand through Jesus. And why don't we, why can't we, or why aren't we living victoriously as his child? Why are we really showing us that we are indeed a genuine Christian? We live as Christians. We call ourselves Christians. This is our label. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to the world that I am consistent with my label. I am not a hypocrite. Yes, I may not be perfect, and it's still working in progress, but I'm pursuing. I'm pressing on. I'm not moving backward. I don't like to play in my sinful nature. I'm not enjoying it. When I'm in this foot, I have to take it back. I have to repent. I have to ask God's forgiveness. And I want to press, and I want to press on again. I want to continue to press on. I'm not enjoying in this side. That's what makes me that the work in progress, that progressive sanctification is at work. The Holy Spirit is keep working on me, reminding me that, hey man, this is not really good. You are just looking at the face like in your mirror, and you forget your face. This looks like that. Remember, you are a child of God that had been paid. You are victorious. How come you're still enjoying that sinful nature without the sense of remorse or repentance? It just doesn't make sense. And then again, Jesus will say, if you keep doing that, why bother? Don't call me Lord, Lord. Now, last but not least, this is a question that I want to challenge you. As much as I being challenged with this question, who do you think Jesus is? Now that's the first question. Who do you think Jesus is? The second question that you must answer, if you are able to answer that question, then the next following question is that, who is Jesus personally to you? So the first question, who is Jesus for you? Who is Jesus? And then following that question, who is Jesus personally to you? You know why? Because answering these questions will help determine where you are at actually as a Christian. It's kind of like a self-checking thing to make sure that, hey man, yeah, who is Jesus for me? Has he really been in here? Has he really been the Lord of my life? Because if it's not, then no wonder I can't enjoy this playing the mud. It's a question that you have to answer yourself, not to me, not to the pastor, not to Pastor Peter, but more importantly, to God himself. You have to be honest. By the way, you cannot lie in front of God anyway. You hear, from hearing, you receive that free gift of salvation, and from that salvation, you continue to do good works, to obey his command, his instructions. The wise man is the believer, is a believer whose life is built upon the rock of salvation, and that rock is Jesus Christ himself. Question once again, you know, are you a wise or a foolish man? Or a foolish believer? The wise man is like the tree planted by the riverside whose leaf does not wither. Psalm chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. And let me close with this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let's be a Christian that really, again, it is my heart, it is my longing and desire, you know, when we call ourselves Christians, that we really want to live as Christians. I've seen too many times, I've heard, and I've been in that boat too, that kind of like living double life, Sunday to go to church, but the next day, not really consistent to what I put my label on my life. And I have to kneel down in the front of the Lord, and I have to ask forgiveness from Him many times, because I haven't been living consistently. In fact, not just about consistent, but I think I've been living hypocritically. And again, I've seen many times Christians also, many Christians like that. They look so good in the church on Sunday. But yet, during weekdays, just like a different person. The world is so dark. And, you know, we are supposed to be the light and the salt of the world. And when we believe in Christ, let's follow Him seriously. Let's not just treat this as some kind of theories, but apply it in our lives daily. Treat your husband well. Treat your wives well. Treat your kids well. Treat your brother, your sisters, your friends. And that's why, and so that we can be called by Christ as wise builders one day. Not foolish, but wise. Because we understand what we hear, and that becomes the true foundation, the message of the gospel itself, and we do it. The whole package equals to wise builder. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you once again for your word. Father, Jesus' parables is simple and yet so profound. And yet, can be so hard, Lord. But yet, it is honest. And this is what we have to receive from you. Because many times we live in hypocritically. We say one thing, we do another. We say we hear your word, we do another. But Father, I pray that today, maybe there are turnaround in our lives that we don't want to be like that. When we say we believe and follow Jesus, we really want to apply it in our lives. We want to shine because of what you have done for us on the cross. Help us, Lord. Help us for that commitment and the determination to come to surface in our hearts and our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you may continue to work in each of us, that there's this progressive sanctification that keeps happening in our lives. That we change, we will change, that we change not because of our own strength, but because of your grace. And we know the meaning of that grace, and we don't want to waste it. We don't want to take it for granted. But we want to continue to do good deeds. Because we want to be called wise builders from you, Abba. In the name of Jesus, I pray.